verse 1, chapter 4 of Genesis. And the man knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bare his brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall it not be lifted up? And if thou doest not well, sin coucheth at the door, and unto thee shall be its desire. But do thou rule over it. And Cain told Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against his brother Abel, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now, cursed art thou from the ground, which hath opened its mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee its strength. A fugitive and a wanderer shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the ground, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer in the earth. And it will come to pass that whosoever findeth me will slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain, lest any finding him should smite him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methushael, and Methushael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and pipe. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, the forger of every cutting instrument of brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man for wounding me, and a young man for bruising me. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly, Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For, said she, God hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, for Cain slew him, and so forth, and so on. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, our souls are thrilled as you have taken us back to the very beginnings of the history of man, shown us its development, generation after generation. We are thankful for what we've seen. Now let us know from the experience of our own hearts, we would have suspected this to be in the hearts of all men, but from this portion and others that thou hast shown us, we know it to be true. Our Father, apart from thy divine intervention, we would be without hope, but we are thankful for the dealings with even those who are rebellious against thee. So, let us understand this, our God, and rejoice that as souls oppressed, we came to the Lord, because there was mercy with the Lord. And let us take courage, our Father, to present this hope, this mercy, to all sinners that come to this same Lord, who was so gracious to all his erring creatures. And so we desire, our Father, to have impressed upon our hearts these basic truths. Teach us by thy Spirit. Thou knowest our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. And thou knowest our weakness apart from thee, but our strength when thou dost come and assist. So work in the hearts of those who hear, and empower the lips of him who speaks. Bless us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Some brother tell me this. Every reference to Cain and Abel in the whole Bible. If I had asked you ladies, perhaps you would have known, but it's not a difficult task at all. Other than Genesis chapter 4, unlike the other sons who are mentioned in Genesis, and then they will be mentioned in the genealogies later on, Cain and Abel are never mentioned again in the Old Testament. That's all. But they are mentioned in the New Testament. One of them, Cain, while being mentioned along with his brother Abel, has two references where he's mentioned without his brother Abel. And Abel, while being mentioned along with his brother Cain, has two references mentioned where his brother is not included. Can any brother think of any place else in the Bible, in the New Testament, where Cain and Abel, or Cain or Abel, is mentioned? Very good. Jude 11. Notice the error of Cain. Fine. Now, the Apostle John, in his first epistle, chapter 3, says this. Let us love one another, not as Cain, who slew his brother. He was of the evil one. You see how important that is. It says that Cain was of the wicked one, the evil one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his works were evil, and his brother's works were righteous. All right. We have Cain's two mentions by himself in 1 John 3 and Jude 11. Very good. Now, where are Cain and Abel mentioned together? By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. That's in Hebrews 11. That's fine. But then it mentions in Hebrews 12, Abel by himself. It speaks of the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And one other reference where Abel is mentioned by himself is in Matthew chapter 23, and this is most important because the Savior himself speaks of Abel the righteous, from the shedding of the blood of Abel the righteous. So, when Abel is mentioned, he is mentioned about his being slain, his blood, in Matthew 23, and also in Hebrews chapter 12. When they are mentioned together, and that is in Hebrews 11, there is nothing mentioned at first about the slaying, but only of the offerings that were brought to the Lord. So keep this in mind, and this is most important. While some would explain to you the Bible in the most general terms, that Adam and Eve are simply mankind and womankind, and Cain and Abel are simply righteous seed and unrighteous seed, from the way that they are spoken of in the New Testament. Adam and Eve were two individuals, and Cain and Abel were two individuals, the firstborn sons of the human race. So, if I'm going to begin at the beginning of fathers and sons, I have to begin with Adam and Cain and Abel. If I'm going to begin with the firstborn sons of the first priest, I've taken that up. The sons of Aaron, who were Nadab and Abihu, they died. And now, let me make a correction. I was talking about the sons of the high priest Elihu, and his sons were Hophni and Phinehas, but it's not Elihu, it's just Eli, so keep that in mind. Eli, the high priest, and his sons were Hophni and Phinehas. Knock off the who. I couldn't trick it any way possible. I was going to say Eli, whose sons were Nadab and Abihu, but I can't say that. His name was Eli, and Elihu was the one who with Bildad, Zophar, and Eliphaz had dealings with Job in the book of Job. So I make that correction. All right. Here is the first man, and here are the first sons. Think now, because there will be a first time in your life when you look upon the face of an infant, but think of the first child that was ever born. You explain it to young daughters of yours about having children, what to expect, but who explained to Eve about the birth of children, how long it would take, how large her body would become, how God would prepare her in her body to nurse the children after they were born. Nobody had told them that, unless God did. There's no record of it. And so it says, Adam knew his wife Eve. That's most interesting, because knowing your wife is the most intimate of things, and that is the way that God expresses it. Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare a son. And I was thinking of that. No one had ever seen another human being. Adam had never seen another human being until God caused him to sleep and from his side formed Eve and brought her to Adam. But here is a full-grown person, one who is fully developed and one who can talk to Adam. But now Eve brings forth a child, and here is a child. And there is the umbilical cord, and there is the hairless little thing and the toothless little thing that she could hold in her hands. And this must have been a fascinating sight for a woman to look for the first time of a child that came of her own body. And Adam to look at that child, and in wonder and amazement they would look at that child. That's the marvel of it. And this is what happened. Think of how fascinating life would have been, and how today everything is so commonplace. We know all about children, and we know all about abortion, and we know all about birth control, and we know everything else about it. Nothing is of importance anymore. Nothing excites man anymore. But think of the excitement that Adam would have when he looked at all of God's animals, and he gave them names, and then when children started being born into the world. All right, I mentioned that children were born after sin entered the world. Think of the complications if our parents had had children in a sinless state, and then they had sinned, and you would have sinless ones in the presence of sinful ones. But the providence of God saw to it that Adam never knew his wife and conceived until after sin had come into the world. And the tragedy is this. We are not told, it only says this, the man Eve The man knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, but now listen to this. It says, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. And the same thing could be spoken of the first son that was born in the world. But the joy and expectation of it is brought out in chapter 4. But the reality, the fact of it, is brought out in Genesis chapter 5, the birth and the death chapter, because there is no natural death in Genesis chapter 4. It is an unnatural death. But to our knowledge, after that, then there are natural deaths in Genesis chapter 5. As it speaks in the Bible, that a man was old and full of days, and he gave up the ghost and was buried and went unto his fathers. That's the way it's expressed. But here, the first death that occurred was an unnatural death. And now let us think of the first father and mother, because I thought of this, and perhaps someday I will tell you about it, perhaps before too long. I spoke of fathers and sons. I could just as well have spoken of mothers and daughters, or mothers and sons. Because in this instance, while Adam gave the names to animals, it says that when this child was born, it says, she said, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And so Eve gives him the name of Cain. And again, she bare his brother and his brother Abel. And so from this, we see that Eve is the one, and she looks at this child, and there is a play on the word. The word kana means to beget, and the word listen, Cain and kana, there was a little play on the words. She says, Cain, his word means a sharpened spear, but at the same time, Cain and kana are similar in sound, and so she says, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. Now, what was in this mother's mind? What is in the mind of you mothers who have had children when you look at your infants? Most of us are excited, we have great expectations, and we give them promising names. But what happens is that as life goes on, and you read other scriptures in the Bible, you understand what the Bible means when it says, man is estranged from the womb, he goes astray as soon as he is born, speaking lies. And then when sin occurs in your life, you understand that I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And so when the second son comes along, Abel, she gives him the name of emptiness, vanity. Is that not sad? You look at a child and you have great hopes in that child, but then you understand that that child has been brought forth in your likeness. And how can you expect perfection out of your likeness? That is what Eve was like. But think, Eve, you are the one who listened to the voice of Satan, and you talk your husband into eating that fruit, and then not deceived, but he took of that fruit and sinned with you. And so what shall you say about any sin that you see breaking out in the hearts of your children? Now, no sin is mentioned until a sin arises about religious devotion to their Creator. Whatever might have been done, we are not told. But the emptiness, the vanity of life, is revealed to us by the name that she gives to her second child. Why would a mother give the first child the name Ghana? I've gotten a man with the help of the Lord, and great things are going to happen now. We have sinned, but certain promises were made to me. The seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. So now, this promise has begun. But in the process of time, as life goes on, then the emptiness and the vanity and the sorrows of life and the sweat of the brow, all of these things begin to come in upon the soul of man. And so she gives the name of her second son the name of Abel, emptiness and vanity. All right, here are the two children. Understand this, and I will have a chance to explain it now, because invariably we read in the Genesis chapter 4 things that were impossible for them to be met in Genesis chapter 4. Just as we read into the Levitical sacrifices things that would be impossible for Aaron and Moses and the Israelites to understand them to mean. And I will explain this now, even though we're talking about fathers and sons. It says that God had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain he had not respect. And from as long as I can remember, it's always been because Abel's offering was a blood offering. Blood was shed. Tell me where it says that this animal was slain and offered up by fire. You say you can't. It seems this way from mentioning the offering of the animal with the fat thereof. It seems as if that animal is put to death and the fat. But you know what you've anticipated? You have anticipated the ritual in Leviticus that only came hundreds and hundreds of years later. Only then did God speak about certain sacrifices as the burnt, as the peace, as the sin, and the trespass sacrifice. And only then did God speak about the cutting open of the animal and the taking out of the fat. So all of these things would be unknown. As far as is recorded in the book of Genesis, these things are unknown to Cain and to Abel. But it's simply this, that Cain had his occupation as a farmer, and Abel had his occupation as a cattleman. One took care of the soil, and one took care of cattle. And because of that, the thing that I would bring to God would be part of my vocation. My calling is that of raising cattle. And my vocation is that of raising vegetables and the fruits of the earth. And for that reason, I would bring what I had wrought and give it to God. And in like manner, Abel would bring what he had wrought with his hands and give it to God. And another thing, if you're going to read into it typology, and understand you can't read into it something that God has not as yet told us, we can look at it. I have brought this to attention, that what Cain offered was even a better type of Christ and salvation than what Abel offered. You say, how could that be? Do you not realize that what Cain brought is called here in the original, and I'm digressing here to tell you, so that you won't be caught up into this and be reading into God's word what is not there. He offers a mincha to God. And do you know what a mincha is? A mincha is the meal offering of Leviticus chapter 2. And part of that meal offering was the first fruits. Now let me ask you, if the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, who is the first fruits of them that slept? You say, the Lord Jesus. Now, the Lord Jesus is the first fruits, had to die and be raised from the dead. So which is the greater type of the Lord Jesus? If you kill a lamb, that's the death of Christ. But if you have the first fruits, that's the death of Christ and his resurrection. And so, if we're going to set aside these types because one is incomplete, let's set aside Abel's type and hold forth Cain's type, because he offered, if you're going to make it typical, Christ is the one who died, and he was the first fruits of them that slept. But that isn't it at all. From what I gather, reading all of these references to the offering, it was simply this. It was the attitude, the condition of the heart of the boys, the two sons of Adam and Eve, when they offered these gifts to God. Now, you find this attitude throughout the Bible. And God refuses to let man offer things to him unless their attitude is right. In the book of Malachi, I will start with it there. God is resentful and God is indignant over the gifts that are offered him by the Israelites. He says, you bring an animal without horns, without hoofs. You bring a diseased animal. But notice, they're bringing an animal. You say, yes, but it's a blemished animal. The Bible says it has to be a perfect animal. Why, of course. And from the reading of this, it says, Abel brought a more excellent sacrifice. He brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. God was put first, and if there is the fat, then it's not a skinny animal that is diseased and is not worthy of God, but it's the firstling of the flock with the fat. It's the very choicest animal that he has, and it says in Hebrews 11, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain. And notice, it simply says that Cain, in process of time, brought an offering of fruit, the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. Notice, he simply brings an offering of the fruit of the ground. And from reading all the scriptures, and I'm simply assuming this, I cannot show you for sure, but I can tell you for sure that his heart was wrong when he brought it, that he just brings something to God and gives it to God, and God looks at it, and God looks at Abel's offering, and evidently the look upon God's face shows what was acceptable and what was unacceptable. This is what happened on occasion. Let me ask you this. When Hiram was given numerous cities by Solomon for the assistance that he gave for building the temple, what did Hiram say when he saw the cities that Solomon gave him? He simply said this. He said, what cities are these, my brother? Now, did he like them or did he reject them? You say, why, he rejected them. Of course, what cities are these, my brother? They displeased him. And so in like manner, here is fruit, but God knows if there is better fruit, if there is choicest fruit, if you just went through the motions and gave something to God, God knows it. Or if you took the first things of the flock, the choicest with the fat thereof, and gave it to God, God knows that. You remember? He knows what Ananias and Sapphira held back. And God said, cursed be the man that has fine animals to give me, and he gives me an animal that's not the finest. God knows, and God resents it, and God refuses it. Now, this, I know the condition of heart for this reason. If I were seeking to tell you what was correct in Scripture, and just as I was told last week, is Elihu the father of Nadab and Abihu? I said, oh no, it wasn't Elihu. His name was Eli. I forgot. That was wrong. You see, I would confess it. But if I became indignant and said, yes, and I don't want to hear any more about it. Well, here is Cain, and God tells him. He says, now look. He says, your brother Abel's sacrifice is acceptable. He says, yours is not the equivalent of your brother. I want you to do something about it. And Cain becomes indignant, and he's not going to do anything about it. You can take what I brought to you, and that's all you're going to get, and if you want something else, you're not going to get it from me. You see how his heart was entirely wrong? Because had his heart been right, and he brought the wrong sacrifice, he would have apologized to God and said, why, of course, I did not know. Here is something I was giving you, and I thought this is what you wanted. My God, I will correct that mistake. And so his heart was wrong. Because when God told him what he did wrong, it said he was filled with wrath, and his countenance fell. And just as God's countenance would be lifted up in approval over Abel's sacrifice, but God's countenance would be of a different appearance to Cain's offering, then in like manner, when God accepted Abel's sacrifice, think of the pleasure that would be in the heart of Abel. Just the opposite is true when God rejects Cain's offering. It says he was filled with wrath and his countenance fell. And God, in his grace, this is the first time among children born of man. He did this in graciousness toward Adam and Eve, but this is the first child born. He does it throughout history. Here is that threatened Jonah who has been disobedient to God and has been through compulsion made to go and preach to Nineveh, and he's sitting there fretting and arguing with God, and God graciously tries to bring him to his senses. And I think of the same way that God deals with us. How often we are stubborn, and God could strike us dead as he struck down Nadab and Abihu. He could cause the earth to swallow us up when we are fretful and rebellious and fractious and disobedient and filled with wrath because we've done something wrong. Who are we, God? God says, this is the way I want things. And we get angry because God wants it his way and he won't accept it our way. Then our heart is wrong. And God comes and he reasons tenderly and graciously with Cain. Think of the insult that's been given God, and he tells Cain about it and he gives him a chance to rectify his mistake. But Cain wants nothing of it. And he says, if you do what I tell you, then your countenance will be lifted up. And the look that you saw on my face, and the look that you saw on your brother Abel's face, that will be the look on your face. Your countenance will be lifted up, and my countenance will look upon you with joy, and all will be well. But he was not going to change in the least, and God tells him what happens. Once a sin gets in your heart, it will start working and gnawing and growing and developing. Unless something is done about it, it's like sin couching at the door. And the desire of that sin is to leap upon you and devour you, consume you, destroy you. And God told Cain that this is what is going to happen unless you rectify your mistake. And Cain does nothing about it. And afterwards, Cain is talking to his brother. What he says, we are not told. But it says, and Cain, it really says this in the Hebrew, Cain said unto Abel his brother. And that's all it tells us. He just said unto Abel his brother. But somehow he gets him out by himself into a field. And then he rises up against his brother and he slays his brother. And then he thinks, all is at an end. So this religious brother of mine that God approves of, we'll see about him. He is no more. That's the first death in the history of man. An unnatural death. Here is a fratricide, a brother killing his brother. Now, I want you to see how quickly sin develops. God said to this boy, he said, if you do well, your countenance will be lifted up. If not, your sin will be like an animal waiting to devour you. And then this is what happens. When our parents sinned, they wanted to hide themselves from God. And they speak timidly to God. But now, in the course of one generation with sin, passed on from Adam and Eve to Cain. In one generation, God says unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And here is the first lie. I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Lying and defiance. And then God lets him know that he's understood what has happened. He says, what hast thou done? Thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Do you see what has happened in one generation? From sin that timidly approaches God, now sin would lie and dissociate itself with any responsibility toward his fellow man, especially his brother. And this is what has happened. And if we even went to chapter 6, God says, the end of all flesh is come before me. Why? It says, every imagination of the thought of man's heart was only evil continually. And so that's how quickly things develop. And here is what you must understand. The judgment is passed by God because the sin did leap upon him. It devoured him. It consumed him. And he in turn destroyed his brother. Now, we did not know this, but Satan in the serpent was tempting our mother Eve. Satan again is present, but not now visibly in an outward form tempting man, but he is tempting man in his heart. And it says in Genesis 8 that Satan is a liar and he is a murderer. It said he was a liar. He was a murderer from the beginning, and there is no truth in him. And what happens? Here is a liar and a murderer. And how did this happen? It's not only sin in him, but it is sin that is aided by Satan, the god of this world. Because the Lord Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. And those are they of whom he speaks in John 8. And it speaks of the devil being a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And now John explains it all to us. He says, we are to love one another, not as Cain was of the evil one. Cain was of the evil one. And so Satan was able to snatch Adam and Eve. And Satan is able to snatch Cain. But thank God he was not able to snatch Abel. Because the Lord Jesus says, from the blood of righteous Abel. And it says that Abel's works were righteous and his brother's evil. And so beware of those who are just as religious as you and who outwardly worship the same God as you. But tell them that God is a spirit and he must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Tell them that Christ is the only way of salvation, the way, the truth, and the life. And they will rise up against you and if necessary, slay you. And this is what Christ says. It says that the hour is coming when people that put you to death will think they are doing service to God. And so here is the first murder and what brought it all about. It was a difference in religion. It was God rejecting Cain and accepting Abel. And so this is the sad story of the beginning of fathers and sons in the Bible. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, all these things that we've read that are so prevalent among us today, we can fully understand it if in one generation lying and murder took place. What concerning us now, so many thousands of generations since first man and woman walked in the garden? Our Father, we confess that we are part of that race, that we are sinners, that we are estranged from thee from the womb, but we are so thankful that we know something about the blood of Jesus Christ, that it cleanses us from all sin. And while we confess, as thou hast told us, that we still have sin, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We also have been told by you, our Father, that we have a new nature. We have been born of God. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We are thankful. And therefore, we can combat that sin that would crouch and that would destroy us as it destroyed Cain. We are thy children, our Father. We cannot be brought down to the pit, but we can be brought down into the mire and to the shame of this world. But our Father, we pray that we shall not. Let us say those words with Paul. Sin shall not have dominion over us, for we are not under law but under grace. And let us understand about being more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. We are thankful that though unworthy, Christ has saved us. And thy Son would say concerning us, these, my children, the righteous ones. We are thankful of that. May it also be, Father, that we take this stand for righteousness and be willing to die rather than change. Have mercy on the world. Guide us to those who need Christ. Open their hearts and let them be saved. Hear us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.